You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast. This is episode 163, and today got a somewhat big announcement for you. Jason and I have considered the direction of this podcast moving forward. It became apparent to us that we needed a doctor in the house, so we decided to trade Jason for one. No, I'm totally kidding. Jason's actually out on vacation for the next couple weeks here. Pretty exciting, pretty cool trip. I would love to tell you about it, but I will let him do that if he chooses to, not give away somebody else's information. But so for the next 3 weeks, we got a different co-host for you, a name that's not totally brand new. If you've been listening to this podcast before, had Caleb Leonard come and share with us before one time. I should have looked up the episode number. I don't remember it off the top of my head here now, but he's definitely been with us before, and you can search for him on our website, faithunpacked.com or .org, to be able to hear that past episode. Caleb is a pastor of Grace Life Church in the Des Moines, Iowa area there. He is also a husband, father, and most importantly, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Caleb, thanks for sitting in for Jason for the next couple weeks while he's out saving the world.
Yeah, man, it's good to be back. I'm glad to do it. I enjoy listening and glad to be able to contribute something. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, for sure. We'll even double the pay that you got last week or last time you were with us. Go ahead and double
it's too,
that.
It's too generous. It's too generous.
I'm just kidding. For our listeners, just know that none of our guests get paid anything. In fact, we do not make one dime. We have not made money off of this podcast. And in fact, we lose a lot of money on this podcast because our goal is simply to share the love of the Lord and his word and to help people see and engage with the Lord better. That's our heartbeat here. And this is not something that we do for any other motivation. So I was thinking about, you know, different topics, and I was really thinking, you know, let's just take a week and talk about the lessons that God has been teaching us, as you know, we don't often sit and really just share and discuss what God's doing in our lives and what we're learning and how we're growing. I know for you, you've had a pretty significant season of quite a lot of change, just going from, well, first of all, a little over a year ago, becoming a dad for the first time, and then of course, working at a Christian school, and then now back in a pastoring position and in a completely different state and all kinds of stuff. So what has the Lord really been teaching and showing you over the last little bit here?
Yeah, so it's been wild the last couple of years, and just like you kind of, you know, shared some of those highlights, and particularly this last year of this theme of providence in my life, and you know, seeing the beauty in that, and to see all of the good that God has brought into our lives, but also to embrace some struggle and some real suffering during that time too. Super excited about the role I'm in now and what I'm doing, and so that, like, that's awesome. But there's been some, you know, bumps in the road as well, along with the joys, right? So I've got a daughter that's 18 months old, and that's been so fun because you become a lot less selfish, and you can just feel like a new kind of love, and that's really awesome to be able to understand, I think, even better the fatherhood of God in that, and what that's like to really be able to love a child and to see them grow and become who they're going to be, even though she's only 18 months old. You know, it's just fun to see that. But also, within the last 6 months, pretty much after I accepted, right after I accepted the job to be a pastor in Iowa, I got a call my first week in the office that my dad had been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, basically out of nowhere. My dad's 53. He's really young. My parents got married young. I'm 30. And so I'm like, man, this out of nowhere, right? My dad's not a smoker. He wasn't exposed to, you know, through his work to chemicals or anything like that, you know, and just seeing that, like, you know, he has, you know, at best, if the Lord decides not to heal him in this life, he's got at best a probably a year. And so it's this weird mix of like God's providence and bringing about, this ministry position we've been praying for, this church family that we're growing to love quickly and being really excited about, you know, what I'm doing, at our church, you know, and then also coming to grips with, like, I'm going to lose my dad soon, you know, most likely. And so it really puts your theology to the test, right? Of, am I going to be okay when he's not here? And, you know, is my faith being tested? It's like I have all of these doctrinal convictions, right? Which we love to talk about, and you guys talk about on this, you know, podcast a lot. But, you know, my view of, you know, like God's providence of, maybe I'll just define that for us, but God's continuing work, right, to sustain in existence the created universe and all it contains, right, directing it towards its divinely designed end. And I'll show you my cards, right? I believe in meticulous providence, so that just meaning that God ordains and controls everything that happens, right? And so but my dad gets like cancer, right, and I'm dealing with this hitting so close to home, because I'm extremely close to my dad. Me and my dad are like best friends, you know, in a real sense, you know, through adulthood. And so this is just crazy to think about, you know, to have it hit differently because of this close relationship that I have, you know, that here's this doctrine that I confess. Here's like the beauty of like God's providence to me and being so excited about this new, you know, ministry position, what I'm going to be doing. And then at the same time, like my heart's just being like crushed by, you know, this reality and thinking about my mom not having her husband anymore, right? My sister not having my dad, be able to walk her down the aisle, you know, potentially, like all these things you think about, you know, that's common to lots of people have this experience, right? And so it's just learning, I think, to walk, to live out, like in a real sense, like these doctrines that it's like, it's not just this head knowledge to combat some type of argument or heresy, but to really embrace this reality that, you know, there's evil and sin and pain in this world, and God's providence brings into our lives things that hurt and things that are really joyful, and they're both from His hand, and there's no purposeless pain, right? We don't usually know the purpose for it, but this joy and this, you know, like sorrow are both from His hand, and they're happening like simultaneously inside of me, right? And that's a weird experience for me, because I felt the pain and the suffering part of that, of seeing God's providence and something and knowing there's good in that. But to experience that alongside being so excited about something at the same time is just like a strange and kind of new experience, you know, for me. So, you know, I think about, just been meditating a lot on, you know, what I guess, like, just the example of, you know, like of Jesus and like his death being the worst evil ever, right? But behind like this terrible suffering is, you know, like the greatest good ever. And just holding on to these, you know, promises that God is working good in and through this, right, to form us more into the image of his son. And that's really painful. And I pray for that every morning, right? But sometimes it feels good to pray for that because I see all the goodness and joy that's happening. And sometimes it's really painful because I see that, yes, my dad's going through this suffering for a purpose, and God's going to bring good, you know, through this ultimately. But I don't get to have all of my, you know, questions answered. I don't get to, you know, necessarily always sense that goodness in the moment, right? And so that's been an interesting thing, just praying through that and just reading scripture differently through that. I'm getting ready to start a series in Ecclesiastes actually like this Sunday, and it's hitting a little different, you know, when I'm teaching this, you know, the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, and you have these, you know, famous lines of, you know, like meaningless, you know, meaningless or vanity, you know, it's all vanity. And, you know, his thesis statement of, you know, just like, what's the purpose of life? You know, like really, and so, you know, I've titled the series like a In Pursuit of Meaning, you know, and that's just hitting a little bit different, you know, walking with my dad right now as he's, you know, going through, you know, suffering with stage 4 cancer. So.
Yeah, that's really tough. It is that real rubber meets the road. Reality of, okay, I look at, you know, Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, which in a valley season essentially, or in a difficult point of suffering in life, in that form, it seems a verse like that really mocks you, you know.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And you have that, and it's like, so how does that, you know, how do you reconcile that sense of, you know, just fleshly, like, this can't possibly be good or from God, because here's a man who didn't do evil, right? Here's a man who walked with the Lord. And I mean, I don't think I've ever met your dad, but certainly I've met you, and that's a big testament to your dad in so many ways, right?
And
I've heard stories of what he's like as a husband to his wife, and it's just like, okay, how do I deal with just that tension of even feelings?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what's tough for me, is I'm not like a super emotional guy to begin with, you know, so I have so to experience these like really two extremes of, like, it's so fun, like, being a dad, and, you know, we have like this young child, and my wife is actually pregnant again. So that's exciting. And being like really excited about that, and all the different, you know, challenges and joys of doing, you know, ministry. But then also realizing every day at some point, like, oh, like, this is still here, you know, and this really painful. And, you know, to think about, like, man, I want, like, my kids to have their grandpa, and, you know, to see that, like, my dad has been a faithful, you know, Christian his whole life, you know, and has given such a great testimony for the Lord. He has a servant's heart, and he's always been larger than life to me, you know. And so in a certain sense, some days it just doesn't even feel real. And so it is an interesting thing to, you know, walk through right now. As I think as pastors in particular, like, we ask people these questions all the time, but we're not always good at asking other pastors, or whether they're on staff or, you know, you have these relationships and networks elsewhere of just seeing like, what's God, you know, teaching you, or what's what are you struggling with, without having to feel like if you open up to, you know, a congregation member about something, it's our own pride, right? Of, you know, like, oh, they're going to think like, oh, the pastor struggles with stuff. You know, like, he's not human. Yes, he's not allowed to be human or something, you know? And so part of it's like us not allowing ourselves to do that. And part of it's just the nature of our work, right? It doesn't, you know, we're always kind of asking other people that. And sometimes they'll, you know, like, ask us to. But to just sit and, you know, really be ministered to by the Lord, and to contemplate like, well, what's actually happening right now, and making sure that I'm saturating my own life, you know, with the scriptures that like I need to hear, you know, from the Lord desperately. Like, I believe that, you know, every day when I wake up, I believe that, but there's a different, you know, fervency of like I always need it, but it's like, I don't know what today's going to look like if I don't, you know, and that's, and that can be like a different, you know, feeling, rather than just doing it because it's a spiritual discipline, or doing it because I really, love studying the word. Those are true, but to go to it with a desperation of like, I need hope, you know, right now, because this is really difficult. Like, how do I minister to my siblings? Like, how do I minister to, you know, like my mom who's, you know, losing her husband? And so those are, you know, those are challenges, and kind of unique and new for me. You know, it's not like totally foreign as far as being a pastor that those things happen in your congregation, but that mixture of that joy and sorrow all at the same time, this is definitely new. So.
Well, and usually, you know, pastorally, those tensions still exist, right? We have joy mm-hmm. with people, and we have sorrow with people at the same time. And so we are aware, yeah. like we are used to that dynamic, at least to a point. The X factor there, though, that you're talking about is, in this case, you're also dealing with your own feelings, which, in a normal, you know, normal pastoral sense, like I genuinely care about people. I genuinely, mm-hmm. you know, want their good. I genuinely worry about their soul, you know, before the Lord. And we bleed out for people in prayer, right? As pastors, that's just, we do. We do care deeply about them. But at the same time, most of those situations, I don't have my own feelings. Apart mm-hmm. from dealing with the weight of their feelings, and you know, if I'm hearing you right, what I'm hearing is, I'm having my feelings, I'm dealing with this conflict in myself, and then I'm also dealing with this conflict in my mom, in my siblings, and I'm trying to help them, right? I'm taking on some of that burden on from their, you know, from their side. And then I'm still a pastor on top of all of that, and yeah. I'm still dealing with everybody else's burdens. And,
yeah.
So how have you just, managed all of that and not, you know, just been crushed, by the weight of all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're totally right that, you know, even though I love and care for others when, you know, you're counseling and shepherding them, you're somewhat coming to it with like, you know, fresh and untethered emotions, at least initially, you know, that you're also not, you know, bringing into that. And so, you know, thankfully, as far as on the, you know, pastoral side, it's been a little bit of a lighter season as far as like, you know, counseling outside of like my own family has gone. And just by the nature of my position, I don't do as much like one-on-one counseling is some do, but that has been a blessing in this season for me to be able to focus a little bit, you know, more on just my own family and in that way. But also, you know, you have those initial thoughts of like, oh man, like now my theology, my faith's really being tested, but I don't have doubts about like God's goodness or why, you know, like those questions that some people have of like, why did God allow this and those type of things. I haven't had those type of questions. You know, it's not like I've had a faith crisis or something. It's, my faith is what gives me peace and hope. You know, like I'm excited that my dad gets to be with the Lord, you know, probably soon. But I think what's hard for me is like, I feel in my heart that I need my dad. Like I want my dad, you know, here. And it just seems like, you know, I'm expecting like 30, 40 more years with my dad, you know? And so just grappling with a life that I think I was going to have with him and what the Lord seems to be doing and bringing about, you know, through these circumstances. And so that's why it's so important, I think, because you never know how it's going to hit someone. Somebody else, it might be a real faith crisis for them, you know, more so than it is for me. And that's why I would say the biggest helps have been being, obviously I'm a pastor, but like being connected intimately with a local church where you can have a church family that's ministering Christ to you, right? That's preaching the gospel to you, that's giving you a listening ear that continually points to God's grace and mercy and his goodness, right? And that admits that like, yeah, this really sucks and this is, you know, painful and suffering. You know, we were never meant to experience this, you know, in a sense, right? But it, because we live in a broken and fallen world, this is one of the effects of the curse. But also they can help point us back to this hope and reality that as the creation groans right now, Romans 8, right, that our hope is that, yes, God will restore us and creation, right? So just meditating a lot on, you know, Romans 8, last couple chapters of Revelation, you know, thinking about like this, just this grand vision of future hope, right? To putting my, you know, eyes and my heart there, not only for myself, but also for my dad, you know, like really taking account of, you know, things that truly mean something and have significance, you know, in life and trying to, you know, not bother with things that are so trite and things like that. So, I mean, for me, it's just been just a continual, like steadiness in reading scripture and prayer and really leaning in on our church community and family and letting them minister to me. And I think as a pastor, sometimes that can be hard for us to do because we, you know, feel like, well, this is my job. Like, it's literally what you pay me to do, but to allow yourself to be, you know, ministered to. And that's been a blessing. You know, our church family has been so helpful in that for us.
But I do think you are pastoring even in that, right?
Because yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I think as pastors, we lead by example in both the positive and the negative, which is, you know, the positive is people see me seeking the Lord. They see me in the Word of God. They see me devoted to a life of prayer, right? They see me sharing the gospel with people. They see me, you know, doing those things, right? Loving as Christ calls us to. They see all that. That's the good. We like that part, right? We like to teach. We like to be a good example. We like to lead by example in our lives. But there's also the other side, which I think is just as important in terms of being an example, and that's humility. It's repentance, right? It's confession. It's showing the church how to reach out to others, right? How to engage in gospel community, how to admit hey, I need my brothers and sisters to pray for me, right? I need them to step in and help carry my burden, just like I step in and help carry theirs, right? And that shows them, oh, hey, this is how you do this, right? This is God's design for the church. This is what the Bible tells us to do. And I'm 100% certain that what we do is much more valuable than what we say, right? Because what we say is only as valuable as what people see us doing. And I know that that's definitely true. And you get those reminders, right? Every once in a while that it's like, oh yeah, this is really important. I was in a Bible study last week and I was sharing some of my own difficulties from the previous week, you know, and they're certainly more open maybe than is typical for a pastor to share. It was in a, you know, context of a group of guys and stuff. And I remember one of the guys afterwards came up to me and he was like, wow, I've never experienced a pastor, you know, talking that transparently before. And he's like, that's really cool. That makes me, you know, more open to engaging that kind of way myself, you know. And you're like, oh, that's awesome, right?
Yeah.
And so as much as, yeah, I totally can relate to your feeling that like, oh, this is not very pastoral of me, but it, in another sense, it really is though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's a tough, there are tough, I think one of the things it's okay to say or to admit is that there's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we don't understand. And even, you know, you mentioned that this hasn't caused you to doubt, you know, in your relationship with the Lord or really struggle in that way. But I do think it's important as well to point out, you know, for listeners that it's not bad to be honest with the Lord. Like, it's not bad to take those real thoughts of doubt or, and a lot of times it's not even real doubt, right? It's not doubt of like, I'm literally doubting everything I've believed. It's just literally, Lord, this is how I feel right now, right? These are the feelings that are in my mind or in my heart. And a lot of times they don't match what I know empirically to be logically true, right? Like, so in Sunday school last week, I was teaching on salvation. The doctrine of salvation, you know, what do we believe? Where does the Bible teach it? And why does that matter, right? And of course, I'm with you in the meticulous providence camp. I believe that no one can be saved unless the Lord moves, right? The Lord has to move for people to be saved. And of course, the logical question comes up, nice old lady raises her hand and you know what the question's going to be, right? We know what the question is. It's why then doesn't God move in every case? And it's a tough, that we know the answer, right? We know what the answer is. I mean, there's multiple answers actually. It's first of all, we aren't innocent, right? We rebelled against the Lord. We've chosen to do evil. We've chosen to be in the camp of the enemy of the Lord. And so it's really just the Lord's grace alone that draws any of us, because we don't deserve it at all.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit. But at the same time, that's still not a very satisfying answer, right? Because I want to believe that the Lord literally desires all men to be saved. That's what the Bible says, right? That is the heart of God. And yet he still doesn't draw all people. And I have to deal with, you know, I kind of have to sit in that tension and it's not comfortable, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a, that absolutely, you know, we have these, you know, bring in the two wills in God, right? The God's decretive will, right? So like all events in history are in line with his decretive will, right? Though some things might be against like his will of desire, right? Which is his revealed will we could think of. And, so it's one of those things where it's like, I know these two realities, right? Where like, yeah, he desires all to be saved. But all people aren't saved, right? And there are reasons for that. Like you said, right? We're not owed anything. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And it's only because of his mercy that anyone is saved. And so, but that doesn't, you know, solve all of our questions or tensions of like all that goes into that, right? And it's kind of the same, you know, it's a good link to what this looks like in, you know, in suffering, you know, too, of you look at, even just, you know, questions of like, well, if he's all powerful and he's good, then why doesn't he stop it? Like either he's not really good or he's not powerful enough to do something, right? That's what the world will say and accuse God of. But that's a failure to realize that my definition of good is not always the same as what God's is, right? And so there could be a greater purpose in this suffering than him just healing it, in this life, right? We know my dad will be healed ultimately. But there is like this reality that there is a greater purpose sometimes to certain things, right? So that's one of the biblical answers of why does God save some and not others, right? It's like, well, what we can say is like, it brings him more glory to do so. And that's not like a real fuzzy, comfortable answer, but it's about as close as we get, right? Because we're not really told more than that. We just have the reality of the effects of sin and the power of grace and the mercy of God together, right? In this reality that it is such a rich mercy that he saves anyone. And so these are difficult questions, right? But this is doctrine actually lived out in real life. This isn't somebody up in an ivory tower, like doing philosophy and, you know, like coming up with cool terms. And like, this is our experience of life, right? That, and it's hard. And like you had mentioned, like even being honest in prayer with some of the complications that go along with the questions that people have is like, you know, I remember praying early on, like just really honestly, I remember, you know, like saying, you know, to God, I was like, do you think I don't need my dad? Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, I trust you. And I, you know, it's like, I love you. And, like, I wasn't even necessarily mad. I was just, you know, I was like, cause, you know, I'm like, God doesn't owe me anything, you know, but I just feeling like this deep sense of like loss and already beginning to grieve. And I was just like, that just seems wild to me. Like, how could that be good? Like, I feel like I still need my dad for stuff, you know? And it was just like, but in that moment, I'm just trying to be honest, you know, I'm trying to like, be like, I see David being in the Psalms. I was trying to just allow myself to be like Jesus in the garden, you know, and trying not to make these, you know, pietistic prayers, you know, and just saying like, man, like, is this really like happening right now? It's like, are you serious? You know, it's like, I don't get this. Like, how's this good? Like, I still feel like I need, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It's, I do love that about God is, and this is one thing that I think is most encouraging about the Psalms is David just pours his heart out to the Lord all the time. And most of the time it's ugly. I mean, it's ugly, yeah. Ugly. Where you're going like, David, dude, like, bro, whoa. You know, because it's intense. Sometimes it's intense despair, right? Like Psalm 21, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away from my groanings? My God, I cry out to you and you do not answer. I cry out to you, but there is no rest, right? And you're just like, yikes. And then you got other times where David's angry, right? And he's asking the Lord to destroy people and to dash their children against the rocks. And, you know, all that, I mean, all this stuff. And there's just such intensity about all of it on all the different sides. And of course, that's not all the Psalms is about. If you haven't read it, don't be discouraged. Read it. There's so much good stuff in there. So much glory in there. So much the beauty and glory of God in there. But notice God never corrects David for any of it. Mm-hmm. God never tells David, you're wrong or you're sinful or you're a terrible person. How dare you speak to me like that? The Lord never talks to David like that. And I think that's just such a cool an encouraging thing that, like, yeah, God literally invites us to come and to be real and to be raw and, like, just let it loose before the Lord, right? Just
in
the same way you do in a real relationship, because it is a real relationship, right? Our relationship with the Lord is a real and it's the same thing in real relationships, right? Sometimes we share with each other stuff that you're like, I'm not proud of any of this, right? Like, I'm not happy that these are my thoughts. Like, in my head, I know, like, I should not think this way or I should not feel this way. And yet, it's okay.
Yeah. And it's something where, you know, like, my theology, just like you've said, you know, would tell me, like, God's big enough to handle whatever I throw at him, right? In these moments when I'm wrestling, you know, with these things. But to like know that to be true, to teach that, is to other people is different than to actually feel that when I express this frustration that I'm met with love and mercy and his grace to bring like real and true comfort, you know, through his word, through the gift of his people, through the preaching of his word, right? That he meets me and that I'm comforted by him, you know, even in these deep expressions of just pain, you know, not even, you know, doubt and anger, but just trying to contemplate life and, you know, what this is going to look like in a very short time. And that's been so beautiful to experience, you know, that not as just a concept, but to live that out, right? So even though we don't always get to see how this thing in the moment can be good, we get these little glimpses of the presence of God in a really particular and significant way where we're having these encounters with him that we wouldn't have had this not taken place. And to receive that is a foretaste of things to come, right, in the new creation. And so even though all of our questions aren't answered in this life and it hurts, that is a rich mercy and something that's really beautiful to experience even in the midst of suffering.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.